Governor Charlie Baker's effort to bring clean hydropower from Canada to Massachusetts is dividing environmental groups in Maine. The plan depends on a billion-dollar transmission line through heavily wooded areas of Maine. But environmental groups are split over whether to protect scenic vistas, wildlife habitats, and backwoods culture, or to support efforts to fight climate change. Reporter Fred Bever has our story.
Top of the world, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Look at that. Wow.
One way to get a really good view of the line's proposed path is to head up to the 3,700-foot peak of Coburn Mountain in western Maine. In 15 feet of snow, and even in a burly snowcat with an experienced guide like Pete Dosti, it can get exciting.
It's only 20 or 25 feet wide, then it drops right off, and I mean drops, both sides.
Both sides?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can see it both sides. Holy crap.
At the top, an observation platform offers a sweeping vista of distant peaks and largely unbroken forest. The nearest city of any size is Farmington, about 70 miles to the south.
This whole wilderness, what you're looking at, is the gateway to the North Maine woods.
Dosti cut the first snowmobile trail up here decades ago. Although there are no big roads or developments in sight, it is mostly a working forest below, and there is a patchwork of clearings and logging roads. The new cut corridor and its towers of up to 100 feet or even a little taller would add an unmistakable new visual element to the quilt. It aggravates Dosti that the electricity flowing through the altered landscape wouldn't even serve Mainers, but instead head to consumers in Massachusetts.
They're going to be taking a wrecking ball to the last of what we have here and the reason why we're here.
Which is, Dosti says, a prized destination for visitors from hundreds of miles around.
Because there is no commercial sprawl here. This is what's left of what was here 200 years ago. So now we're kind of under attack.
To offset the line's potential effects on the region's economy, CMP has offered millions of dollars in incentives to bolster economic activity and for broadband access. But many around here say that's far outweighed by the value of the remote, unfragmented woodlands.
As we walk into the corridor, there's clearly a dramatic shift in the vegetation. We lose the upper canopy or the overstory of trees.
To get a better sense of how transmission corridors can affect a forest, Nature Conservancy scientist Andy Kutko invited me to tour a 50-year-old power corridor in Bodenham. Young trees and scrub poke up through the snow, guarded by a line of utility towers above.
One of the important parts of climate change resiliency is just the intactness and scale of the forested landscape.
Unabbreviated forest land, Kutko says, can deter predators such as fox and raccoon and provide security for more specialized species such as pine marten or wood thrush that do not easily adapt to open areas or new environmental circumstances.
Northern and western Maine in particular just really jumps out at a map of the United States as being unique and having literally millions of acres of large, unfragmented habitat.
Still, the threat of climate change itself is also why the Nature Conservancy and some other environmental groups have stopped short of opposing the CMP project. They say that in recent years, the urgency of global warming has become all too apparent. Long-distance transmission of renewable energy, in this case, hydroelectricity from Quebec, may have to be part of the long-term solution.
The reality is we know we're going to have to clear forests and disturb habitats to be successful at that clean energy future.
But the environmental community is divided on the issue.
Our biggest concern is that this project is a sham.
Nick Bennett is staff scientist at the state's largest environmental organization, the Natural Resources Council of Maine. The NRCM, the Appalachian Mountain Club, and others say CMP and Hydro-Québec have not demonstrated that the project would support the construction of any new energy-producing dams or infrastructure. But two groups, the Conservation Law Foundation and the Acadia Center, say there is reason to believe that the project will result in new carbon dioxide savings. Back at the Bodenham power line, Nature Conservancy scientist Andy Kutko says that while existing conservation law is pretty good at protecting wetlands and streams, deer yards, and endangered species,
it really doesn't do a very good job of addressing those cumulative long-term impacts.
Central Maine Power says it's engineered the line to avoid harmful ecosystem impacts and will conserve 2,700 acres of land in Maine while paying $6 million to the state to purchase more land and easements. But it's not responded to the call for mass conservation of neighboring woodlands, and the environmental group's ultimate support or opposition may turn on that question. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Fred Bever in Portland, Maine.